I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call, please?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan? Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Weber?
Here.
Councilmember Pepper? And Councilmember Pepper did email in saying she could not attend the meeting tonight.
Okay, since the mayor also is absent, this is Janie, and I'm going to turn over this work study on the budget to Mae Miller, the finance director.
Thank you. Tonight is the first budget meeting on the 2017 budget, and this is really an overview of the budget and really getting an understanding of what the rules are, what kind of basic budgeting functions are, and kind of an overview of all the revenues, all the expenditures, and the process. So I want to start out by going over the calendar, which is the last page, and really talk about what are the specific kind of required dates and processes that are set by RCW and are put out by MRSC in their budget instruction book. So the first kind of column in the middle is really the dates when staff has to get information to each other, or the mayor has to get out budget calls, or whenever we have to get information to Brenda to be published. So that's really kind of an internal date for us. The second column are the work studies. And the RCWs just say you need to provide, you need to gather this kind of information and provide it. And in one page it said present, but it didn't say if we email is that present or you know, in what form. But we've always held work study sessions so that we could really review all of it, be here to answer questions. The first meeting is just, like I said, kind of an overview, and I'll go over what the specific RCW says I need to cover in that meeting. The second two are really where the department heads will be here. The meeting on October 18th, and that is a special council meeting date, work study day, as the other work study that was available already had a town hall meeting. So we had to pick an alternate day when we could have time to go over this. This is where the department heads will be here, and all the, we'll go over all the general fund revenues and all the general fund expenditures. And it will be a much more detailed packet with a lot lower level of detail and information in it. Then 2 weeks later, on a Thursday, October 27th, we'll have another work study where Seth will be here to go over all the different public work budget, the street, the water, sewer, storm, but also all the capital projects. And then we'll pick up all the other odd kind of funds, like the special revenue funds and some internal service fund budgets. So those are the opportunities when they're optional. We don't have to hold them, but we want to hold them if we can, so that we can be able to answer questions and have staff here to answer detailed questions. So both of those will come out with separate packets. And then after that, on item 8 on the calendar, that's when we really have to start meeting council dates. At that point, we have to have our public hearing on property tax. And so the RCW says on revenue sources and a need for property tax. And cities under 5,000 can automatically level a 1% increase in property tax, not over the total, but over just the base of last year. And that we will have a public hearing on it. We'll have a whole separate, we have to have two separate ordinances at that point. One to adopt, if council wants to adopt the 1%, which is around $14,000 or $15,000 for the whole city, or, and then another one that just adopts your base rate, which is last year's levy really, and it says you're going to add new construction and all that. So those are the two required. So we'll have a public hearing. We have to have that information to the city clerk by October 7th because, well, we have to get it from the county first, all the numbers to put in the ordinances. Then she has to meet the newspaper cutoff dates so that it can be published, get to their cutoff so they can get it prepared for their paper for the weekly editions on Tuesdays, which are 10 days before the council meeting date. So we have a lot of rules we have to, and we've backed into the state pretty carefully. So we've got the public hearing there, and then we're going to have another work study that night on the some of the other budget items. Then we have to have a preliminary budget available by November 17th where we'll combine all the funds together and all the narratives together and everything. And those are available for council. We'll have a public hearing on the budget then, and then we'll have another one on December 1st. So we'll have two opportunities where council will have a whole document in front of them and public to be able to comment, come in, ask questions, make comments and all that. Those dates in the council meeting date are set by RCW specifically, and like the December 1st date happens to be on a Thursday this year, but if last year December 1st was on a Monday, I believe, and in the calendar and the RCW doesn't care what day councils meet, those are the dates we have to follow to get the RCWs adopted in place. So while the dates, you know, can look arbitrary, they're dates that we have to go by to meet the RCWs that are set by Washington State. Usually we have the last hearing on December 1st. Budget could be adopted that night. We have adopted it that night if we've gone through all the process and made any changes people want throughout the process. We have adopted several times on that date. We have another council meeting date on the 15th that we could adopt it then also. I talked to MRSC today, and it needs to be adopted by December 31st because that really sets the appropriation in place so city governments can actually spend money. If there's no budget in place, no funds can be expended off of the 2017 budget. And we could still pay bills that related to this year. We have to hold 2016 open until January 20th, so bills that continue to come in, we could pay those.
As much as I hate to say this, like the federal government, who doesn't budget very well, they do things by continuing resolution. Can we do a continuing resolution to budget for short periods of time? I don't know.
That's something that I would have to check with MRSC and with our attorney. We've never, I've been in government like 42 years, and I've never had a situation where we haven't adopted a budget. So anyway, so that's kind of the calendar, and you know, I know there was some confusion over the dates and why we did it, and one of the staff members had a really good suggestion that next year, early on, we come out with a calendar and come to a meeting and discuss it and maybe adopt it by resolution so people know early on, you know, what all the dates are. And if we have to move some date, then, you know, be able to look at the calendar and get it moved so we're still meeting RCW. But I thought that was a really good idea, and trying to do anything we can to help smooth this out because there is a lot of steps there and a lot of pieces and everything. We want to try to make it convenient for everyone. So any questions about that? Okay. All right. Next, I want to kind of go over what the RCW, this is on my memo, that my agenda email, that says what it is that we have to do by October 3rd, which is Monday. And so it says in there that I need to give information that shows this year's budget and where the revenues and expenditures are through our last financial, so I did it through August. and where I think each one of those are going to be by the end of the year. And I'll go over why we do that in a little bit when we look at the worksheets, but it's a process we have to go through to develop the budget. And what that does is you add up all the money you think you're going to have in revenue, and then you subtract everything you think you're going to spend, and that becomes what you believe will be your ending cash and investment balance, and then that also becomes next year's beginning cash and investment. And that's how the process is put together. And they have these specific steps we need to go through. The last thing or a couple other things they want us to include is debt. And since we only have one fund that has debt, it's the water fund, I've included the debt page. And then a range of salaries of the different staff. So I've included both of those pages. And then last, we need to show kind of what is the overall budget going to be for next year. What do we think the funds will begin? What will the revenue be? What will they spend, and where will we end in funding? And so I'll go through all of those different steps tonight. So there are a lot of different steps to go through. But before that, I want to just take a minute and really just step back and talk a little bit about how government funds are structured and what the rules are for budgets in different funds. So I have an extra handout that I've developed. And I have a lot of extras that we can put up there if the audience would like. Audience would like some. I have several extras. So this first page, one of our old city administrators that we had in the past, Mr. Butkus, he introduced, I believe maybe, this to talk about, you know, well, are you just transferring money all around, or where does this money go, and what does it pay for? And so we revised his worksheets. And this structure is set up both at a national and Washington State level. So when I work, good. All right. Well, I wonder if I should wait and go over this when she gets here.
Do we
want to
take a recess?
Until...
All right.
Let's
yeah.
Motion
could...
for recess.
Okay. Yeah, we haven't done this for a while, and I think it's just
since I started it. I call this meeting back to order. Councilmember Morgan, who is Mayor Pro Tem, is now in attendance, so I'd like the record to reflect that. So, May, you can continue or do a recap for Erica if you'd like.
Sure. Okay, Erica, I was mentioning that today is just an overview. It's the very first meeting of the budget and really kind of a summary and took over the process. I'd gone to the calendar on the very last page of the handout and mentioned the different meeting dates and the fact that the work study dates are optional, where we try to share with council. And we ran into trouble with like the October 18th because we already have a town hall meeting on Thursday, so we had to schedule ours for Tuesday. So sometimes the meetings are on an odd day, but we only have two in October and one in September. So it's here on this calendar. I'll get you the work study. And that the first meeting is tonight on item 4 in the work study. And that's just to go over the overview, and I can get him a copy. To go over the overview, and then on October 18th, which is item 7, that will be, the department heads will be here, and we'll go over all the general fund, all the police, the fire, community development, all the various departments. And so we'll have a completely new packet with all the kind of details of the general fund to go over that night. Then on October 27th, which is a Thursday, Seth will be here, and we'll go over all street, storm, water, sewer, all the capital projects, all the special revenue funds, right, all that stuff. So we'll go over it that night. So we've got, you know, three pretty heavy duty. They're not required, even though we need to get all the information together, but we try to do that every year to make sure that we can share with everybody and answer questions. And then the required dates are the ones where we're going to have a special council meeting, a public hearing on the property tax. It's item 8 on October 27th. That will be the first property tax public hearing. It's a long process to get all that information together, get it published, and meet the timelines. 7th, yes. We have to have everything to Brenda by the 7th because they have to get to the newspaper. They have to publish it 2 weeks in a row. It has to be X days before the public can hear it. Right. Uh-huh. And then we'll have a public hearing on the budget. And the budget will be available November 17th. And we'll have another public hearing on the budget on December 1st. And so there's, you know, time for public to be here and ask questions and everything. These are dates that are specific by RCW. December 1st is the day that the RCW says we have to do it, whether it's a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday or whatever. This happens to be a Thursday, so that'll work out this year. And then it can be adopted that night. Several years it has been. It can be adopted again in 2 weeks on the 15th. It needs to be adopted by December 31st to be able to pay any wages or vouchers or any bills in the city. And then, you know, we have the state when the range of dates we have to meet things on the very last column. So kind of sometimes we're barely on that date and sometimes we're ahead. We try to always watch those dates every single year. And I think you attended the MRSC budget presentation this year by Tony Nelson. And they put out a whole booklet for us that we use to get all the information and the dates and what's required and everything. Okay, and that's kind of where I stopped. I wanted to go over kind of the governmental accounting structure. That handout that I put out, this is both a national and a state adopted structure. It's adopted in Washington State under the BARS manual that tells how we have to structure our account numbers and our funds. It's really like separate businesses. You know, like Sears and Roebuck, they may have a catalog business and then they may have an insurance business. They're two separate kind of items. They're under the same umbrella. We're all under the same umbrella. But we have specific rules on each one of these different types of funding. And each one has its own, basically, bank account. It's their own cash and investment. We have a cash and investment just for the general fund and for each one of the individual funds there. The general fund is your main fund that most people think of when they think of city government. They really think everything's in the general fund, but it's not. However, your police, fire, court, community development, parks, cemetery, legal, facilities, technology, clerk, finance, mayor, and council are all in the general government. And I'll go over where the money comes from, but it's primarily our taxes go in that fund and pay these kind of bills. The budget is set every year to pay those expenditures, and it lapses January 20th. We have to hold it open until January 20th in case bills come in late. And then that budget stops and goes away, and we have to start operating on a new budget. The special revenue funds are set because state law said this revenue can only be used for this. And it's the street fund, they have street gas tax. And so a long time ago it was set up, this had to be a special fund. It can only be used for streets. And the fire impact fees that we collect can only be used for growth for fire equipment and facilities. So we collect the money here and we hold it here until such time as we've had growth and we can spend the money per the ordinance. The transportation benefit district fees, that's the $20 car tab, has a special fund. You have to deposit the money in and report, but it's transferred over to the street fund to be used for street operations. This is tailored to Black Diamond. This, the account numbers and the little balls are, the account numbers and the top balls are all set by state and federal. These are the, okay, the individual funds we have in the city of Black Diamond. Right. Yeah. Okay. And then traffic impact fees, that's the Enumclaw fees they just paid, are held in that fund until such time as the project is ready to spend them. The state also, and those funds have annual budgets, just like the general fund, and they lapse January 20th. The capital project funds are unique. They're for grants and capital projects. These are for governmental projects only, not water, sewer, storm, and all those, just government. So they can do streets, and they can do parks, police, fire, general government facilities. These budgets are adopted like in the capital plan, basically, and they carry over until a project's done. So if you get a grant for a street project, it goes into the little street piece, and it's only spent for that street piece, and it's carried over from year to year till that little project's done. And then if we had to have a match that transferred in, then the match can go back if it was REIT, but it can't go to another project. It has to stay with that project. And those carry over, they can carry over for, I've seen, five-year projects even, where they, as soon as they're completed, we close them, and then they don't carry over anymore. But this is unique, so these all are project-specific budgets. The utility funds are really what they call more like a business fund, and they operate where you have to set rates to cover your costs, and the RCW says the council has the fiduciary responsibility to set rates, to collect enough funds to pay the operating and the debt and the capital cost of water, and it can only be used for water. It can't go anywhere else, and water projects or sewer or storm. So each one has their own structure and their own responsibility and their own kind of reserve requirements. These budgets also are annual, except for the capital projects, which within water, a capital project would carry over until it expires. The internal service are kind of a clearing where we're trying to replace equipment. So we transfer money from funds, like public works transfers from street, water, sewer. We transfer from general government for parks and cemetery in here to just specifically replace equipment, and that was part of the capital improvement plan this year, so you could see the different pieces of equipment we plan to replace and when, and the funds that are collected. We budget.
So that's like a maintenance fund?
Yes. It's a replacement fund primarily. And it has an annual budget also. The last category is called trust and agency funds, and this is money that comes into the city that is owed to someone else. An example is the court collects fines on a ticket, and part of it belongs to the state, and part of it belongs to the county, and part of it goes to the city. So the city part goes in the general fund, but these other two we put in the trust fund, and then we have to do a voucher out of that fund to pay it to the state and county. We also
every one of them is a different thing, huh?
Right, and we also hold retainage there for capital projects until the capital project is completed. We also transfer a monthly amount to pay our insurance bill when it comes due annually. So that fund accumulates until our annual payment to our insurance company. Yes.
So just for clarification off of what Erica was talking about on the replacement, equipment replacement. So maintenance doesn't come out of that.
No.
But like when you and Ron Taylor and the council decided to put $25,000 for the fire truck. That would sit in here under fire. Fire, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that would sit under there and not be touched.
Until it gets used by its line item.
And we hold the fire piece separate. So if we've allocated $25,000, we hold it. And if it doesn't get spent, we carry it over for fire for next year. So it doesn't go anywhere unless there's no need anymore. But sometimes we accumulate funds there then because fire trucks are pretty expensive. So we – yeah. Yeah. Yes. The annexation study is not an equipment, so it was in the general fund itself, the annexation study.
It's over here in the general fund.
So, another question, too, because we were talking about maintenance. The maintenance, actually, of the equipment, does that then come under the general fund? Like if we've got, or does it come under public works?
If it's public works, we code it to a public work clearing, and then I split it between street, water, sewer. If it's like a mower that mows there, if it's a parks piece of equipment, we general fund pays for the maintenance out of the park budget. So they all pay their own maintenance on the equipment. This is just to accumulate funds so we can buy the equipment. So I just wanted to kind of go over that this is a basic structure. We can't really move money around between these funds. Each one has to be kept. And when the auditors come in, that's what they audit for, to make sure that we keep them all clean and that we know, exactly what kind of revenue has to go in which kind of fund, and that we track it all carefully and report it. So then I just did a page for the general fund that shows what is the main revenue, so that I don't have to go over all these, but you can look at them. Mainly it's taxes, property, sales tax, utility, our license, passport fees, grants, funding agreement goes in the general fund because those staff work out of the general fund, and police grants, the traffic school, police, and court, all their revenue goes into the general fund and then pays general fund expense. So what is kind of the goal of the general fund? It's public safety, police, fire, and emergency management. It's the community development and the MDIRT, which is really a development project. It's the building equipment and ground maintenance of all of our different facilities, the parks, the cemetery, and it's also the equipment, which is technology, and our general government facilities, the buildings we're in, and then our support service, which is the clerk, HR, finance, and central services, which kind of is paper and printing and general things and legal. And those costs are paid for in the general fund, but they're shared with some of the utilities. As legal is not only for just the general fund, but they do legal ordinances and minutes and accounting and payroll and everything in the other funds. So each one of them has a share of support services. And the allocations are set by the state auditor's office. Kind of they monitor and review those closely, and also by kind of rules and policies on how you allocate, what you can allocate, what you can't, and how you set up process to do that. And then last, the executive and legislative. So those are kind of the divisions of the areas that are paid for in the general fund. And our limitations are, we can't just move money to the utilities. This money that's collected here, these taxes don't go to the property tax don't support water funds and sewer funds. They have to have their own revenue. And they, like I said, the general fund has its own cash and investment.
And I think usually you call those enterprise funds?
The utilities are called enterprise funds, and more like a business. And then this special revenue, again, I just go over, street fund really only has gas tax, the TBD, and then they have a little bit of kind of permitting revenue, like street cut money goes in here. But mainly their whole support is just gas tax and that TBD. And then I kind of listed the type street expenditures in there just so, even if a citizen asked, well, what is that? What is my street TBD spent for? You know, you can look at it, and street repair and lighting and cleaning, they pick up limbs and they sweep it and they stripe it and put signs on it. And it pays for the staff to do that and their supplies and their equipment. And if you have to have a professional transportation plan or something, it has to come out of this budget also. If there's enough money left, you could do some capital projects, but our street fund is very limited, and we don't have any money for capital projects. It's all just maintenance here. Capital projects for street are all grant or REIT funded. Fire impact fees has its own ordinance. It's just held until you grow. It's for growth related. It's for new people that pay all that money in when they get their permit. And so if you were to buy a truck, it would have to be split between how much of what percent of that calls are from the old citizens and what from the new, so that this general government would have to put in some money as well as use this. So there are strict formulas on how you use this, and we just hold this money here until there's enough in there to really do any fire equipment replacement. But it is with the last permit from the school starting to build some actual funds in there, so we might be able to do some fire equipment replacement.
So there was there was a fire impact fee at
the school. Yes, there was. And the TBD, that's the $20, we hold the revenue here and then we transfer it annually over to the street fund to pay their operating costs. And the transportation mitigation, that's that Enum Glass school that's held here, and those are the only funds we have in that area. In capital, I already pretty much went over that, but the revenue sources are REIT and specific grants and some developer money, and then we do get a King County Parks Trails tax that goes into this fund to help pay for any trails that we work on. And it's limited. REIT has very specific rules, REIT 1 as opposed to REIT 2. But REIT could.
Is this REIT 1 or REIT 2?
This is REIT 1.
Okay.
But there is some, and REIT 2. They're both in general government. So at the top where it says general, the REIT 1 goes in that, and the one that says street, that's street and public works, that's REIT 2. REIT 2 could go to water and stormwater and be matched on projects. And occasionally we do budget in the capital plan to use some REIT 2 on those projects. But the other money would specifically have to stay with that project. Mm-hmm. And again, those budgets carry over until the projects are finished. Utility funds. Or the enterprise funds, as you mentioned. We plan to do a rate study update in the spring to look at their rates and look out long term to make sure they are paying the way of each fund. It looks like water. It looks okay right now as I look out long term with their rate structure. Sewer is the county is increasing the rates starting in January, so I'll be back to you with their rate increase, and then the city side of that rate increase that needs to go up to cover the utility tax portion of that rate. So I'll be bringing that back this year before the end of the year because it starts in January. It's a 4.2% rate increase from the King County Metro. Stormwater, it looks to me just, and we haven't put the long term together this year, but I'm really concerned that it definitely will have to have a rate increase by next year. We don't have a rate increase planned for this year, but we'll be putting out the 6-year forecast with once we get to the capital portion of that, and it will show more closely how that fund's looking, but they have no funds for capital in there, and it looks this year like they're really short in the stormwater utility with the new requirements and everything. So that one we'll have to really watch. But again, these these monies stay here and they cannot support the general fund or any other fund. They each have to support only their own fund.
And that's, is that, well, the new stormwater requirements from the new.
Right. That's probably what.
Annual is the main thing, I would think.
Yes, you're right. That's exactly right. So Internal Service Fund, I think I went over that pretty clearly. It's just to collect money to replace equipment, and the fire impact fees, again, are starting to build, but we'll have to look at those by the end of the year and see where those fees are.
Can you remind me, these fire impact fees, was that the fire district who negotiated those?
The city negotiated those. Randy Young brought that, and council adopted the fees, and we collect them at permit time. And like I said, I mean, we had maybe, you know, a few thousand dollars in there, but I believe the school put in like $124,000. So that was,
yeah,
that was a big boost. So it was like, wow,
that's a big expensive thing.
And now we're going to start accumulating some money. And if you did 40 homes, you know, you'd have several hundred thousand more, so that could start buying equipment as we continue
we need
that.
To.
Yes, we do. And then the trust, I've already talked about that. There's no budget required because there's just money we hold for others. So with that, I am going to go back to my email or my memo on the front and say, you know, the RCW says I have to look at this year's budget and where we are through August, say, and where I think I'll be at year end. And then, and I have to actually calculate that. So if you go to page 2, I've got in the first column our this year budget, you know, and these are all revenues from the general fund, and how much we have right now through August, and where I think we'll be year end. We have a little bit more on the beginning fund balance in August because we haven't used up all of our property tax. It keeps pulling down through September and right into the start of October until we get property tax again. So by the end of the year, I think it'll be at $1.2 million. The general fund property tax, I've only, I looked at it, and it looks like we have some new construction, so it's going to be slightly over budget, not much. By the end of the year, we'll have more. Sales tax right now, I looked at what we have through September, and through September we have $314,000. So sales tax is looking strong. We still have three more months. That's primarily the school and what they're doing at Oak Point and other construction of homes out in the community that looks like that's driving that. The utility and gambling tax looks to me like it's going to be a little over budget. And I looked at the areas. It's really the electric utility and cable, and it looks like growth in the whole community is probably driving that. And also our own utility slightly because we have a few more customers and we've sold a little more water this year because of the projects. So it's not a lot, but it looks like growth is starting to affect that budget a little bit. And line 9, the cable franchise, same thing. The cable bill is more expensive or they're doing better or there's more people.
They're out here working every day.
Yeah. So, we have a little growth in that area. Let's see here. Line 14 is state sales tax assistance. Small cities that don't have a big sales tax base, the state shares some revenue with us. And as the state does better in revenue, they share more with us. So it looks like we're going to be a little over budget by year end on that revenue source also.
I'm curious, how much has it been going up over the last few years?
It's been, it's a maximum that we could get of 100,000, and it was going down because the state, it comes from their excise tax money. And as we went through the Depression, every year it went down, 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 down. It's now kind of recovering, and it looks like it'll recover about to 74,000 this year by year end. Police grants and line 17 looks like it's going to be considerably over budget. They received a federal grant for the from the Coast Guard for patrol of the lake that we didn't have budgeted, and they also are doing the traffic schools, a lot more traffic schools on Saturday, and so so that is a good sign. The court is slightly over budget. Again, probably more tickets out there causes that. Line 20, I want to go over because it's passport revenue right now, but if you look at the budget in 2016, you'll see it was 101,000, and I say we're only going to get 20. That's because after we got the budget adopted last year, the state changed how we account for allocations like technology or legal fees. Before, the utilities would pay for some of the attorney costs, and we'd count it as revenue. Well, the state now changed how we account for that. So now we credit it back against legal, or we credit it back against technology. So it is an accounting change the state made. Once we get through this year, it reduces revenue, but it reduces expenditures. And when we get to the expenditures, I'll point that out. The other revenues pretty much are standard that we expect will be pretty much right on budget. Miscellaneous, line 24, is mainly a refund on our King County Animal Control and other miscellaneous refunds we get during the year that we weren't expecting. We don't budget much for refunds because we never know when we'll get one. And line 32 is the funding agreement. They continue to cut back every year. When I first started, we got about $2 million a year, and it's gone down and down and down. And that's a good thing because we need to be supporting ourselves.
Is that in excess of the things that they're supposed to pay for?
They agree under the funding agreement to fund the MDRT staff, but in the past, they funded like 20 staff or 15 staff. Every year they'd cut back how many they funded. And again, this year they cut back on the number of staff they would fund. And I'll go over that in detail with a page and everything when next time when we go over the general fund. But there is...
What you told me answered my question.
Right. They're continuing cut, but that's good. We want to not have any reliance on that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's good that we're having some increased revenue that will help make up this cut. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in good condition. And line 35 is the MDRT developer consultants, that's Parametrics and all the consultants. This likely will be higher. We haven't received the new number from them of how much they're going to reimburse for the various consultants on all the consultant work they have to do on the environment and traffic and all that.
That's a pass-through. That's kind of a pass-through fee, isn't it?
It's an absolute pass-through. They pay 100% of whatever that cost is. So I show that, you know, that even with some of the cutbacks and everything, we're going to still be a little higher in overall revenue next year. And it's primarily or by the end this year because of some growth we've seen. On the expenditure side, I'm not going to go over every line, but most of the departments are slightly under budget, and we hope that'll be the case every year. Finance, line 5, we had the audit costs this year. We actually budgeted that would be done in 2015, and they didn't come. They started it last December, but the bills didn't come through till this year. So that will cause the finance to be over budget this year in that line. Legal service, we've had a lot more legal bills, union negotiations, public disclosure, and just overall legal bills this year, so I expect that will be over budget. Police, you know, it's hard to tell exactly where they'll end up, but it looks like they may save some because they've had one position vacant part of the year. So I take every single line when I figure this out and do it line by line by line, and then I add it up and put the total on here. Fire department is slightly less because they haven't spent that annexation study funds. The recycle grant is right on budget. The MDRT is pretty close to budget. And the facility, which is also 100% reimbursed by Oak Point, is just slightly over, so they're just offset one another. Probably got the line in the wrong area. Hearing examiner, we haven't paid as much. Community development, we've received money from the Enumclaw School for inspections and everything, but they won't occur till next year. So they won't spend maybe all their budget, but the revenue that will carry over will help cover the cost of all those inspections next year.
So those are?
It's about 120,000.
So these are the school inspections?
Yeah, this is all community development. This expenditure for this year is not school inspections, other than not any building inspections, just frame and some basic plan check fees for the school. So this is the expenditure side, and this is all the other inspections we've had to do and houses that are under construction out there and all the other plan reviews mainly that we've had to do in community development. The only other line that I want to point out is line 24, where, again, we had paper budgeted in 2016, paper and postage and all that. And now when we allocate some of those costs out, the budget will go down. So, again, the revenue went down, the expenditures went down, both for this year and for next year. So our ending cash and investment balance, I believe, will be on line 32, $1,303,353. And that's about 22% of our general fund expenditure, operating expenditures. So this is just dealing with this year. Where are we going to end this year? The next area is the street fund. I'm not going to go over every line, but if you go to line 6, you'll see that I think we'll be pretty close to budget in revenue. And then you go down to the bottom of the page, and I've got all the expenditures on there. The green bars are the total salaries and benefits. It looks like it might be a little bit higher because we didn't allocate as much as we thought to capital projects. But the supplies are going to be less on line 21, and the services and charges are going to be less. So it helps offset that, and overall they'll save a little bit of money in that budget. So I show again the total ending cash and investment, and that becomes next year's beginning. And we have to carry about 3 months worth of money in the public works budgets.
So
next
carrying
year.
three months.
Yeah.
I was noticing that
somewhere. Right. Yeah, 3 months.
So
that's kind of
like an operating carry.
Right. It's in case you went out of business. You just need to have that. You need to have that kind of cash flow always.
Yeah, always.
And on the water fund, and these all are pretty close. We've got a little bit more revenue because both the school project and the Oak Point has required water to keep the dust down. So we've had a little bit more water sales this year. So the revenue will end a little bit higher. We've had a little bit more a permit kind of revenue that comes into that budget. So, but none of it's really that significant. Again, all the areas of expenditure, I believe, are coming in right on budget. There doesn't appear to be any concern, and it looks like our ending fund balance will be just close to what we had budgeted, about 10,000 higher. So this budget looks like it's right on pace. And then you'll be able to go back and look at next year's budget and see the different areas. The budgets themselves haven't really changed that much from this year. But we'll go over those in detail. But I did put the numbers on here so that you'll see them and in a preliminary fashion. And when we come back with those budgets, we'll spend a lot of time going over the details of those. One of the other requirements that we have debt, and the only debt we have is in the water fund. We have two Public Works Trust Fund loans. Yeah, it's on page 6, I think. Yeah. Two Public Work Trust loans. One was to buy water rights, water from Tacoma, to borrow the money to buy that and to do the first water and lines and all that. And the second one was an old one issued in 2006 for corrosion. That one's nearly paid. The other one, we're paying down on it, that's for sure. And we have, the developer is helping every year reimburse on the water purchase one. And we have a line of credit from Palmer Coking of $791,000. So our net green bottom bar there is kind of the net amount our water fund owes. And that will be on the six-year forecast, the debt payments for every year, when we go over the water fund. Sewer fund is almost a copy of water fund. We collect the metro piece that goes to metro. So line 20 is, you'll see, most of that budget just comes in and goes out to Metro every single month. That's the rate that will increase, and you'll see that I budgeted a $32,000 total.
Are we surcharging that any?
No. We collect only exactly what it is. We do have a city piece of our rate, which is fairly low, and like I said, it probably will have to go up a little bit this year to help cover the utility taxes that we have, because we have to turn around when we collect more money on the metro piece and pay the state utility tax and our city utility tax. And that comes out of the city side. So we'll have to increase the rate to cover that. But this budget also looks fine. And this is just the operating piece, not the capital and reserve piece, which I'll go over when we go over Public Works. Stormwater. Their revenue is fine for what we budgeted. It's their expenditures that are the concern, and I didn't have a budget for the money to do the new low-impact study or any additional implementation. So it's possible that my expenditures will be higher than this. I don't know when those bills will all come through. For this year, this preliminary estimate, I hadn't included that because I hadn't received the information on that. So it's possible that we'll have to have a budget change in this fund amendment for this year's budget for that amount. Next year's budget is fairly close to the same. Again, we don't have the impact of that put in here. And when Seth comes back, he may need to add some cost for that, the stormwater permit. So page 9, kind of getting through it here, the general fund, this is just a pie chart showing where does the main revenue come from. You'll see the green is taxes, you know, and most people think taxes are what pay for things. That's true. But you'll see that
property tax.
It's property, sales, and utility.
And not the special enterprise.
No.
2.6% or whatever it is. 3.6% or whatever the special levies, or is that in here?
I don't know we don't have any special levies.
Well, there's some special levies though that get collected.
No, we don't. Yeah, we don't. Yeah,
those.
Yeah, yeah. Those go to King County.
Those go to the county.
Yeah, and we'll go over all that real carefully at our next meeting. How much they collect in taxes and where it goes. This is just the money we get and we get to keep. But you see the court produces revenue. The funding agreement is the blue, lighter blue. That's 16%. And then intergovernmental is grants. So you'll see kind of the different areas. So we have some little pots of money, but the primary is the taxes. So, and go ahead.
Where does the police?
Police have grants, and they have that police traffic school. They have quite a few different grants they get. The next page is just kind of a repeat of it, of the earlier page where I'd gone over this year's budget in August and the 216. I've added to this one the next year's budget. And I wanted to highlight line 11, which is the community development budget, which is higher next year because we have to go ahead now and pay for, in addition to what we normally pay for inspections, all this inspections on that school project, which will be, you know, around 100,000. So we have an increased budget, and we're expecting some growth. But I'll go over all the other various increases and changes. Line 20 is, again, that charge, that allocation. It's 79,000 less. So the revenue was less and the expenditure is less. So you'll see those numbers offset one another because of the accounting change by the state.
So that's by the state, even though it's a passport. I love it.
Not passport, the cost allocation part of it. We still have passport of $22,120 revenue. I did send it to you in another format. I can try to get a hold of them and see if they'll write something up on that. Yeah, it's not a RCW or anything, but just a practice they changed in their account. Every year they send a VARS account number accounting change.
And that'd be good to understand.
Yeah, they just decided it's not really a revenue, and it really wasn't because
Wasn't it a pass-through?
Yeah, but
you could keep some of it and you sent some of it on? Or?
No, it was, you know, if the legal bill is $100 and the water, sewer, and storm is 10% of that, we would have those funds pay the money to the general fund, and we called it revenue. And that was the way the state had us do it for 40 years while I worked in government. But they made a lot of account number changes to try to get it more like governmental accounting,
so
clean it up a little bit.
Yeah, clean it up so that you could understand what was going on.
And so once this year, year is over, then the budgets will stay consistent probably another 40 years.
Right.
Once we get through this. So I'll leave that, and you guys can look at that. But we'll bring back all details of the changes. So next year's budget just shows again. On graph on page 11, you know, how much of the budget is for public safety in the general fund, how much is for legal, how much is for support, how much is for 0.7% for legislative and mayor, and in the building maintenance, 5.5%, and community development, 24.2%. And then the page after it shows all the fund breakdowns. Not in that page. It looks like two pages in the different areas. So on page 12, line 4, you'll see it's reduced in the final right column. That is when the funding agreement cut the funding, part of the funding for the city clerk position, part of that will be allocated to utilities, and the rest will be picked up by the general fund. Line 7, is legal service, and I expect next year with all the different union contracts being up that we will probably have additional legal expense. And I already mentioned in line 16 the community development. We budgeted not only the school but 42 new homes to bring in possible revenue next year in that budget. Yes. That's citywide. And, you know, maybe more, maybe less. You just have to kind of pick a number. So we'll go over all these later. The other page I really wanted to kind of highlight, though, is page 13. And the three shaded columns on the right are next year's preliminary budget. And the first one says which specific type of revenues support which public safety operations. So we use – I'll wait until you get to that. Are you on that? Yes, you're on that page.
Are these the same?
Yes, they're exactly the same. There's no change. So – an example is the property tax. 100% of that goes to utilities. We don't spend any of the property tax for any other function in the city. We allocate right now 100% of all the utility and gambling tax to public safety, all of the criminal justice sales tax, all of the liquor tax and profit from the state, all of the court fines and fees, all of the emergency EMS, King County levy, and all of the police grants and traffic school, and all of the state shared sales tax assistance, and all of the business license. So it takes every dime of all of those to support line 26, which is police, fire, and then some other public safety of air quality and mental health and animal control, our little bit of budget for emergency management, our court, and our legal for court. So when people, you know, talk about their taxes and how they're used, that's how they're used in Black Diamond. Other cities that I've worked in have a huge sales tax, and then that will be used for other functions. But in our city, we don't have a lot of sales tax, and the majority of our expenditures are for public safety, so that's how that's used. In the general government, we have some carryover money like the permit and other money. We use our just the little bit of sales tax we get in our city, $385,000. And we our permit all the permitting fees have to be used for permitting. And then just some little recycle grants, and the parks have to be used for parks. And passport is in general government. And then our so that money and some carryover funds all the general government functions. And then the last column is the funding agreement. And every year we have a carryover of $125,000, I'm estimated, plus what the funding agreement will give us, and that will fund half of the city clerk and the entire budget for MDIRT and their building costs, and leave a balance then of $125,000 to carry over to the following year. So this is
just to be really they don't refund this basic 125, do they?
The 125 is like a deposit they pay that carries over.
They do
carries over to cover it until we get, you know, the bills paid and get the cash flow. It's just a cash flow amount.
This is a cash flow amount?
Yes. For them, that's their money,
there,
basically. Yes.
That's there.
Right, and eventually it'll go to zero.
And it eventually goes to zero, or do they keep funding it? That's what I'm asking.
Right now, the funding agreement until the project is done, and as long as we have an MDIRT team, I would imagine they'll keep funding that. They may not fund the city clerk,
right?
You know, and then it would reduce that percentage a little bit. They just have a percent they keep in advance. And it's gone down every year. Okay. And it will continue to go down. Once the project's over, it'll be zero. Because this whole line will go away once
I get it.
All this is over. The last page then, or almost the last, page 14, it just shows every single fund in the city and all the what I estimate will be beginnings, all those estimated actuals I showed you at the how I think this year will end, that all becomes next year's beginning. So I'm showing we should start with $3,839,000 on line 24 in all the funds. And then I show what we have in the budget for revenue for all the different funds. So that becomes all the money available. Then how much we'll spend in all the funds, and then where we'll end. And usually you budget to end less, because in the capital project area from 11 through 19, you plan to spend your capital project, because you don't know if it'll all go away this year, if it'll continue to carry over. But eventually
it'll be gone,
or you'll get new money, and it'll carry over. So you always budget to spend those funds, and that's why there's zero ending in those funds. And so that is the total budget for next year. And then I've got the pie at the bottom that shows capital is more than half, and the general fund is 30%. And then our special revenue funds, 4.2, and utilities, 11.8. So you can kind of see the areas of the budget. The last page is a requirement of the RCW that we publish the salary titles and ranges. I would say 95% or the majority of all of those are included in various unions, but we are putting that, and that's always an attachment to our budget ordinance when we adopt it in December. It's always been an attachment as part of the budget ordinance. That's a lot to digest in one night, but it's kind of an overview of the process and some of the various steps we go through and the rules we're following. We just want to try to share information with you in pieces so we don't totally overload everybody.
Totally,
and so at the next meeting, I expect the department heads will be here, and again, it'll be a thicker packet with all the different departments in it at a lower level of budget detail. In the general fund, and then the one after that will be public works.
So I guess really what we're looking at here is the mayor and the staff sharing with us what their budget vision is.
Yes, that we're required. The budget's, the mayor's required
to do that.
Mm-hmm. And the staff put together the numbers.
And then I guess we'll need to take a good look at that.
And we have public hearings for public input.
See how that fits in with our perception of our public.
Well, the other thing to keep in mind is that per the RCW, the mayor is required to provide a balanced budget to the city council for adoption.
For consideration is how the words are in RCW. Yes, I know.
It has to be a balance. Yeah. Unlike, there was one year when there was a new city council and there was an unbalanced budget presented to the council.
I remember.
And that's not the correct thing to do. And so, you know, the staff has been, and all of the staff and the mayor have been working hard for months
on
this.
I'm sure they have.
So,
I'm sure they have.
Because, you know, they know what kind of resources they have coming in. So, unless there's any other comments.
Any questions?
Just one real quick. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the process. It's also a very, ambitious process. There's items in here that I know we'll want to take to budget committee. So I'm hopeful that the mayor will start scheduling our requested meetings, because otherwise I don't know how the budget's going to get passed.
If not, you're going to have so.
mayor has an obligation when she provides the balanced budget to the city council for us to do what we need to do. It also has been in Sherman. She's told you multiple times she doesn't recognize your committees. So whatever you guys want to do, you can go do it. But the problem is that we have a fiduciary responsibility to have a balanced budget passed by the end of this year. That's our job as a city council. So if you want to take it down and talk to we know who, then you go do that, and that's fine, and get with Ms. Miller. And
No, you may not.
Well,
you are lambasting, and
what I'm saying is that whatever you guys want to do to help pass this budget, you go do it on your own time. Talk with Ms. Miller and get the information that you need.
Excuse me. You impugned again the council by calling the committees, the council and the city, by calling the duly elected new council rules illegal. And they are not. They have not been judged illegal by a judge, and they are not illegal.
Then you show me. Well, we're not going to have that discussion. That is outside the discussion of this work study. So based on that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Meeting is adjourned.